Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's The One Show Show, and this is part two of this week's The One Show Show, the podcast that watches TV's The One Show on your behalf and then analyses it all as though it mattered. If you haven't listened to part one of this week's, why not go back and do so? Otherwise, this podcast might make about as much sense as the actual One Show, which is none. My guest today, comedy writer Joel Morris and advert star Tom Price.
You bastard.
Thanks, guys. Men's, particularly, their noses can grow by about 30% in volume during middle age.
Is that right?
That was a good fact, that, actually.
Yeah, that was my favourite fact. I wrote that down and went, ooh.
And then there's a film, and I'm looking forward to hearing you guys do some comedy riffing on this one, the piece on learning disabled parents. Over to you, John and Joel.
Yeah, honestly. No.
Do you want me to take this?
No. Jen, you've been
John
fired.
John can't get sacked from his own podcast.
Yeah, we can't do that. We don't have the power to fire you. That was mental, because it came out of that quite harrowing thing about missing children and went, you're about to have a baby, Alex. Close your eyes and imagine a 22-foot baby.
Just close your eyes and imagine a 22-foot baby.
Which is my favourite length of the week. Because it was the close your eyes. Yeah. I can imagine a 22-foot baby with my eyes open. Yeah. I think. But it was and she just shivered and he went, he's not going to make you give birth to it. It's just a link. But it was the first only good handbrake turn, I thought, that was really, really good. Yeah. I didn't see that coming. Yeah. And then they cut to, it was an enormous puppet in a Halifax open air theatre thing that was done for people with learning disabilities.
Which is a brilliant, I think it's a kids show that they're making, the CBeebies or something.
And it was obviously what it was completely magnificent and inspiring and great. And I went, oh, God, that's just a big baby. Mm.
Yeah, it was sort of like operated, but like War Horse. It had like kids around it operating the great
Sultan's elephant.
Thanks, Tom Robinson. I hadn't realised about the learning disability thing because I was too busy staring at the baby. Because Matt had said, imagine a 22-foot baby, and then I saw one.
Yeah.
I was just too busy staring at the weird, sinister-looking baby giant.
I'm Joyce Lee, and the element of theatre, music, 3D projection, and a giant mechanical baby will be under my direction.
Very scary. And the woman who made it said, well, I wanted to make it a giant because having a baby is a big deal. So
right. I made a 22-foot baby.
There you go.
Yeah.
It sort of had a whiff of like the Olympics opening ceremony. It was that kind of spectacular thing that you went, this is unarguably a good thing, and it's saying a good thing that's really interesting. Yeah. And you watched it and went, it was another one of those one-show things where it's sort of boring television that you can't object to because it's been done from a really good place.
Yeah. That's right.
And the one
what,
show
Halifax?
Is... The one show has got this thing where it's the kind of television, it's you can't object to it. Because if you object to it, you hate good people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you go, actually, this isn't very interesting.
No, it was really boring.
What you've done is you've made a 22-foot baby, piece of what looked like amazing theatre. I didn't see the story and I don't really follow it. And at the end of it, you went, I've just spent 6 minutes watching something that I can't object to because it was really worthwhile, but I haven't enjoyed watching it. But I'm not allowed to say that because they've done a really good thing. Yeah, and the one show is made entirely of that. Mm. And a lot of television appears to be, I think BBC One appears to be full of people doing things for good causes that are boring.
BBC like, One can be summed up... BBC One can be summed up by the Matt Baker noise. Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's it. That's their output policy.
And it was so when you have a thing about some people from EastEnders are running a marathon, you go, no, it's not going to be very interesting, is it?
No,
and then it wasn't very interesting. They ran up and down a hill, and that was it. And all I was sitting there thinking, I can't even... You can't even turn to someone on the sofa next to you when it's on and go, I've thought of a funny joke about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you mustn't laugh at people doing things for a good cause.
That's right. This was on Thursday's episode, I think. Yeah.
And it was in aid of Barbara Windsor's partner has said he's going to run the marathon. So it was a really good thing.
How proud is Barbara of the fact that EastEnders co-stars are doing this for her?
She's got some great friends there that she's made. And the fact that they're prepared to do this for her, she found really overwhelming. She got quite tearful.
I think the thing that inspired me was just, Barbara and what she's going through.
There's Alzheimer's dementia, wasn't it? And research into the causes.
So, unarguably brilliant. Yeah. People running a marathon, it's all really good. It's a Barbara Windsor National Treasure. People you know off the telly.
Yeah.
And you go, this is a perfect one-show package, and I'm not interested in it at all.
Yeah. It's annoying because I'm not interested in it. Nothing's awkward about it, and it doesn't make for good content for this podcast. So what is the point in them doing it? If we can't sit here and sarcastically mock it...
Yeah. They missed a trick of not use... Because they're quite big fans sometimes of using appropriate songs in the background. Yeah. They missed a trick of Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush.
Yes, that's what I thought.
That should have absolutely go to. They probably couldn't
just
clear
an email, just a quick email to them, John. That's all. Yeah. I don't think they can clear any of that music anymore because they lost their music deal.
Oh, right.
The BBC lost their big PRS deal with music, and they could use any music they wanted to until about a year ago, and now they have to use
music. Now they can only
music.
Use Down to Margate by Chas and Dave.
Because in everything I've produced since then, because I didn't know about that, I've still continued using that.
John Holmes going to prison soon. Sorry, back to prison soon. Just to be good.
They didn't make anything as well as the fact they I thought they'd be running around Albert Square or something as part of the package. And the great thing about Albert Square, if you've ever been there, it's 3/4 size. It's really small. So they can, because of moving cameras around and things, quicker to get things around. And I wanted to see them running. They go, we're running really fast. And then get to real London and realise that it's much further.
Yeah.
That would have been really good. But they didn't. They kept looking, they were running around parks and you went, is that, it's not Albert Square. So they hadn't done the link thing at all, which you'd expect them to
do. I'd like to see them get on the tube at Walford and then just see John Major's cabinet going the other way. That is niche callback of the podcast right there. I don't know why it just popped into my head.
Do you want a good fact? Do you know where Walford is on the tube map?
East, right?
It replaces Bow Road.
Oh, that's a great fact.
That is another good fact.
Yeah, I went to the set, and if you look at all the EastEnders set, I went to some comic relief stuff there, and I went to the set, and if you look at the tube map, even that's detailed, and even down to on the buttons and on the tickets and things, the tube maps in the thing have all got the wrong, all got the correct EastEnders universe.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Like the Marvelverse.
It's in the EastEnders extended universe.
Well, I mean, just to bookend that, I would have been more happy if the 22 baby had been pictured coming out of a 22 puppet vagina. 22 foot
high. That would have told a better story.
It really would.
Yeah. A massive, a direct replica of Alex Jones's, but sized up. Is that what you're suggesting? Yeah.
Well, sized up, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean...
And cut that.
Okay, fine. Speaking of which, there was quite a lot of references to a lady's fufu on this week's episode. Before we get to the melted chocolate...
Oh my God, it was funny. Can I just say, if you do listen to this podcast and you don't then go and watch the one show on the iPlayer, that's understandable. But in this instance, you have to go back.
You want the last about 6 minutes of Jason Isaacs' episode, that's where you want
to be. Before we get to it, though, let's Max Beasley, off the back of the giant baby... Alex's response was quite weird.
Well,
production, you all right after that?
Oh, they were leaving the baby sleep outside on his own, even though it's a big puppet. That's very sad. Anyway.
Why is the baby asleep?
Oh, she started to have baby panic.
Crying.
Yeah.
Got really, really panicky about it. And she was so panicky, it didn't make sense what she was saying. She was in a complete emotional
state was.
About a big wooden baby being left.
And that's
left
probably
in a
when square. They went to her, tomorrow's your last show.
I was going to work right up to the birth, but now I've got to go.
I've been told I can't. But then Matt then turned to Max Beasley and just said...
I don't really want to go into the gynaecology issues, but you did play a major gynaecologist, didn't you?
I was like, where are they going with this?
God. Also, that slight worry you get when someone's been on a programme playing a vet and then they ask them vet questions and you go, they're just an actor.
Well, although Alex then said, well, I know he's played a gynaecologist. We've been having a chat. He's got all of the terminology.
And you've
got
already
all the,
been having chats about various bits and pieces.
Don't let Max Beasley attend the birth.
He's got all of the terminology.
That's so weird. He knows all the words. Yes, that's what actors do. Stop. Just the words. Ask him to apply the terminology to a visual representation of those things, and he can't do it because he's just an actor.
Let's talk about the melted chocolate.
God. Is that built to a climax?
Hop back to Easter Monday and Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs, there were wonderful moments in the Jason Isaacs episode. Him talking about climate change, having just flown back from Seville. Yeah. Him listing off his charities in the faux modesty... well, you know, I'm lucky enough to get to work for, you know, help people out because this stupid job I do, this crazy thing I do called acting, I get to work for a few of my charities, like Cancer Research and Macmillan and Alzheimer's and UNICEF and Red Cross. And it's no big deal, Oxfam.
So I did a bunch of stuff for the Red Cross and Great Ormond Street and Lumos, Joe Rawlings, amazing charity, and Marie Curie and whatever. And
just kept pumping that. You could hear his publicist frigging herself off.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, this is so funny.
This is good. This is good. Say Netflix again as well. Oh, yeah. Say Netflix again.
So all that was amazing. Already, Jason Isaacs had given this podcast so much. And then at the end, they've got pictures.
You sent in your pictures of eggs you've left in the boot.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's the most one-show panel.
Already is wonderful. Send us your pictures of...
I've often left eggs somewhere. Not in the boot, though, but everywhere. It's a different type of egg.
Did you notice... Because I hadn't seen... I think they used to do them in a different format. I like the big red frames. They've got everything in. Yeah. I go, well, I think for the Turner Prize, I think we should just exhibit them in a gallery. Out of context, one show red frames.
Listener photos that have been sent
I think
in.
It would win the Turner
Anything
Prize.
Anything big that happens in our lives during the week now, we should say, this is a one-show red frame moment.
So they're holding up the big red heavy frames of melted rabbits.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and then, I mean...
John, you have to describe it.
Oh, before they even got to that bit, they were showing these pictures, and then was it Matt or Alex? One of them said someone sent this picture because they left they've left some bunnies in their car and they've melted.
Oh yeah, and Jason Isaacs went, oh, don't leave your bunnies in the car.
Shani, this is coming from Shani. She kept her Easter bunny in the car. Sadly, obviously, it was the wrong place to keep it.
Keep real bunnies in the car either.
Here he goes, coming in again derail the humour by suggesting that there are dead rabbits in a car. What are you doing?
Terrible way to die.
And this melted chocolate egg, then, in a picture. It was a white, quite posh, like a Witted's egg, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It had melted into a very specific shape.
Yes.
You can imagine if it had inverted. It's basically it melted and it kind of inverted itself.
And they cut to Jason Isaacs' face and he had the naughtiest look in his eye. And he goes, I've done this. I've derailed it a few times.
Yeah.
I've got a winning thing. Do you know what I'm going to say? And it cut back to Alex Jones's face and she said,
don't go there.
Okay, let's move on swiftly.
Because it did.
Then what did he say? He then said,
now that's like a Rorschach test.
Because what he could see, it's a lady's foo.
Big fanny.
That's right. It was a melted chocolate fanny.
Massive fanny. We've been watching that twat for half an hour, so it's only reasonable.
And you could see, he was going, and then I think they said at the end of it, and that's the end of the show, forgetting they had Rodrigo Gabriella.
They tried to get out of it
so
fast.
Let's stop. Because
but Matt, it went over Matt's head. Yeah. Matt didn't notice.
He didn't know.
Was a joke between Alex and Jason. And she
it's
just
quite
said,
flirty.
And she it was well yeah. It, yeah. She turned to Matt, thinking Matt had knew what was going on.
No, he wasn't in on it at all.
And he was.
No.
And she said, "Say goodbye, Matt, quick." And he went. And he sort of went, "Why?
Because you're holding a red frame of a chocolate twat."
But then he looked at it and still couldn't see what was going on.
Say goodbye, Matt, quick. Say goodbye.
And then he said, "Well, okay. Well, thank. That's all we got time for. We gotta go." And then he went, "Oh no."
Okay. Well, that is almost all we've got time for. Oh, actually, we've got a little surprise for you in store.
We
so
have.
We're not actually going to say goodbye yet. But let's say a very big thank you to Jason.
Thanks.
We're not going to go.
No,
they've come all the way from Mexico.
Because someone's in my ear going, 2 minutes.
Mexicans.
2 minutes.
The Mexican. Don't forget the Mexican.
Now they were originally from Mexico City, but were discovered busking on the streets. They've gone on to sell over 2 million. Record.
This is Rodrigo e Gabriella.
I've seen these guys live, and the great thing about them is they do heavy metal mariachi guitar.
Yeah.
They're both ex-thrash metal guitarists.
Yeah. Of course you've fucking seen them live.
Because I fucking like them. I go to fucking Latitude.
Did you watch them in Albert Square?
Yeah. Before they were famous, before they were on the One Show. But they're great, and they do quite intense thrash metal mariachi. But because it's the One Show, that was then the cue to play the slideshow of people's sunny days. So they start going, chugga-dun, chugga-dun, and there's a caption comes up going, Marian Friends at Gobbins Cliff Park. And that got so funny. The more intense the Mexicans got, and the more banal the days out were. In Monmouthshire, it was just brilliant.
It was magnificent, it really was.
Nowhere
good.
Else on this earthly plane will you get a Hollywood A-lister comparing an Easter egg to a twat, followed by
thrash metal
buskers and people talking about Monmouthshire. It is a pinball free associating orgasm, this show. I fucking loved every second of it.
I know.
You heard of Great Big Owl?
Yes, they make this podcast.
Yeah, but not just this podcast.
You're shitting me. Name some others.
Well, there's Trolled.
We had Luciana Berger and Gary Lineker coming on.
Oh, yeah, and there's Crime Club.
Did you get done for that?
Yeah.
There's the fear.
It's a kid's show. They really, really scared me.
There's always there.
Thanks very much, because I would never have gone down Howard's way had you not asked me.
There's friends with friends.
Shoving a funnel in Joey's mouth and Rachel pours fat down.
And there's Ask the Nincompoops.
Kids ask us the questions they want answered.
That's for kids. We shouldn't have sworn earlier.
Bollocks.
Quick, play the sting.
Great Big Owl.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, can I mention something as well, which I hadn't noticed before, which is, you know, the big telly? That they've got the big screen. Because they'll pull back and there'll be something on the big screen. It's where they show the bit of the OA or whatever.
That's right.
It's on the big screen. And the telly appears to be, because it's not usually in frame, it appears to just be on in the background, like the One Show is. And they've got their own telly they've left on and aren't really watching. And it ended, I think it was Thursday's one, ended with a big picture of Frank Skinner on it, looking quite frightening, like the thing at the end of Star Trek, that horrible face. And it pulled out and I went, this is a hellish vision of ambient telly left on. And that's the One Show just feels like you've left the telly.
It's
on.
Not a telly, it's a Hellmouth. It's Frank Skinner coming out of a Hellmouth.
There was a new, speaking of that telly, there was a new, that's not a good word for vagina. The new camera angle. There's a new camera. So I hadn't seen this before, and obviously, you know, I have to watch this.
Can
thing
we have a
lot.
Jingle that goes, new camera angle, and drop it in whenever they get a new one? Well, the sting, it's a feature.
Well, we've got one now. Yeah. We'll just use that. And that screen was, they looked, normally they look straight down the barrel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But on the beginning of Tuesday with Max Beasley, they had a clip of a picture of Max Beasley doing something before they showed him on the sofa with his dad. But they were looking to their right down the camera, and behind them was a screen, which has never been there before.
Oh.
With Max, and it's a new director? What's trying to mix things up? There? I don't know what had happened there.
They've got a guest director like they did in New York. Well, Quentin Tarantino's come in for 1 week.
You don't know, though, do you? Because there are no credits on the One Show, ever.
What do you mean there's no credits? In fact,
because it occurs naturally, so the action of the wind and the rain.
Because nobody wants it on their CV.
That's hilarious.
There's never any credit.
I didn't know that. I've never noticed that.
It just ends.
It just stops.
You get that Albert Sustainable little logo down the bottom, which Jason Isaacs would be keen.
So that's the director. Is it Albert Sustainable?
I think it's made by people on work experience. That's why.
It would explain a lot.
I think it's not made at all. I think it happens naturally. The BBC just chunters. This is a byproduct like Marmite of the brewing industry. While the BBC chunters on, the One Show just pours out of a pipe somewhere.
Yeah, that is the most beautiful description of the One Show.
It's a byproduct.
This is Marmite to the brewing industry. Yeah. That's what the One Show is.
While the BBC's that's making like great. Killing Eve and Fleabag and things, and
Danny DeVito to Arnold Schwarzenegger, isn't
it? This is the stuff that naturally pours out of. It's the flame burning off the top of a rig.
God, that's great. Oh, put that in your trail. Cut to ads.
The vegetarian curry for the children, by the way,
which was made by a man called Beef.
That's amazing. Exactly the point.
Tonight, we're likely to cook a vegetable curry. There's so much stuff here. There's obviously some fresh broccoli.
At this kids' dinner club in London, manager Beef is preparing for a busy shift.
I rewound that three times going, did I hear who used the name manager Beef?
With the help of Emma Thompson, who turned up. It was. I like that they hadn't told the children that Emma Thompson was turning up and who Emma Thompson was.
Yeah.
But she was vaguely recognised by one of the kids.
As Nanny McPhee.
Nanny McPhee.
Who sort of said, you sound a bit like Nanny McPhee. Emma Thompson, so do you like Nanny McPhee? Yes, I do love Nanny McPhee.
But it's not long before young Serena clocks that there's something familiar about today's chef.
You're a gorgeous trio, I have to say.
You sound like Nanny McPhee.
Oh, yeah, do you like Nanny McPhee? That makes me so happy.
That's my favourite
song. No.
So that was quite nice.
It's lovely.
Quite like that moment.
Yeah. I like they didn't recognise her from Harry Potter, and she's in Harry Potter loads.
They then said, and you're in a new film called Late Night, which is about a late night female talk show host. Tell us about that. But she didn't at all. She went completely off on a tangent talking about the role. She sort of said, how did she get into it? She sort of said, she got back onto the subject of young people and this generation. So it was something to do with Me Too and women in television or something. But then she said she wrote a letter to when she was 20. Yeah. She wrote a letter to Willie Whitelaw.
William Whitelaw was Home Secretary and we were doing Footlights. I wrote him a 6-page letter about the arrival of junk food in this country. And I said in that letter, I was so young, but I said, you are building a time bomb for this country. And I didn't realise how terribly true it was.
She's a pain. And you think you've stuck your beak in even when you were 20. But then she said, and he didn't read it, he ignored it, and now look. So what? She is.
I love an actor's overreach. Every now and again, you get a little hint.
It's a bit rich her saying about people not reading things because she hasn't really read any of the scripts for the film she's been in. Because when they say, what are they about, she doesn't know. Yeah. it was really noticeable that when they said, what's this film about? You go, I think she doesn't. And also, probably a lot of actors, you made this a year ago, 2 years ago, and she can't remember.
Yeah, why would you?
You mustn't ask an actor what the plot is. Because they don't remember, it turns out.
Let's talk a little bit about the films this week, because I couldn't work out which film I thought was the most boring. I don't know whether it was York Minster in Flames or Sister Netball.
They were quite underwhelmed. York Minster in Flames, they'd done because of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Does that mean there was a producer somewhere? When Notre Dame went up, they were like, holy shit, we've had that film about York Minster for 34 years.
Because it was quite all linked. And I'd forgotten that York Minster had burned. It was quite a reassuring thing when Notre Dame went up. I remember when I was a kid that this happened. And then I looked at the footage and went, does this just happen to cathedrals? Are they so full of God? Yeah. Is it like Raiders of the Lost Ark that every 800 years they just burst? Because from the footage you went, this has happened before. It's like the Hindenburg. It's high risk.
The Holy Spirit is flammable. Yeah, exactly. It's a well-known thing. If you pray enough, things burst into flame.
It's like white spirit. Yeah.
But are they walking? Are people at York Minster going, yeah, we've done this before. We can go and fix yours. And he went, I don't know, make them less flammable. But it seemed to be just footage of the same thing happening twice, which you go, that would test my faith.
Easter services at York Minster, packed with worshippers from around the world. But 35 years ago, it was a different story.
Flames leaping into the sky. The great concern was this fire's got every chance of spreading to the rest of the Minster.
I remember people weeping outside, and as the roof began to fall, some of the big bosses from the vault started thumping on the ground.
Something terrible was happening to a building that you loved.
Again, there's a bigger subject here you're not talking about. there are fire risks.
Well, when you believe in a faith where baddies, evils, the wrong ones, it's all built around fire and flames.
Yeah, yeah.
And when that comes to the thing which you think is the good place,
surely you're gonna ask some questions.
You're gonna ask some questions there.
It was good though. I liked listening to firemen talking about them breaking the old roofs.
Yeah, smash the roof down.
Smash the roof down.
Yeah, actually, good technique.
Stop a fire.
They stopped the fire by smashing the roof in because that just left the stone and all the wood crashed to the floor.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that happening because Blue Peter had a competition to design a replacement boss. And it's an ongoing conversation in my family that both me and my wife are both annoyed that our bosses didn't win.
What's a boss? Oh, you mean the bit at the front?
It's the thing when there's a vaulted ceiling, there are little roses in the vault, and that's called a boss. And there was a Blue Peter boss, which is a really big competition.
That was Biddy Baxter, wasn't it?
Yeah, so there's a Biddy Baxter mounted up there somewhere. But yeah, both of us didn't win that, and we both remember it as an enormously annoying thing.
Is that what brought you and your wife together?
Yeah, anger, rage, boss rage.
The one film will make a film about this story. That is absolutely perfect for the one show. And now we meet comedy writer Joel, who met his wife. They both lost the Blue Peter competition.
He's a comedy writer, so he's his own boss. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, lovely. He always speaks like he's just got into a bath at just the right temperature. Oh, that's lovely.
That's exactly right. That's what the one chooses. It's like a tepid bath.
Yes,
exactly right. He did, though, didn't he? He described the sisters, the netball playing sisters, off the back of the film, which I really struggled with because I just found it so dull.
Yeah.
He
comes back Sasha and Kadeem Corbin.
That's them. And he was so excited. That's magic.
Wasn't that a magic story?
That was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Magic.
I wonder, was it?
Lots of hard work.
Actually, I was going to ask this because you like the sport. And I've known, and I thought, am I not getting anything from this because I don't really like the sport? I don't follow sport. I don't really get the romance of it. And I thought, it is really nice. These sisters are very good at netball. But it's that strange thing. Whenever I watch someone who's doing really well in a minority sport, as in they're not going to be a football star and make millions of millions, I go, your whole life.
Yes.
You've done it. Basically, because the sacrifice in being good at sport is so huge. And I don't understand it because I'm so unsporty.
Yeah.
And I watch someone going, I know this looks like you've really used your life well, but I think you've wasted every living second to become excellent at the thing that 20 people watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's awful of me. It's my fault. But I go, oh, God, when your parents made you do this.
And the girls are sitting there smiling to camera going, yeah, it's just been magical. Thank you. You know, it's just been a wonderful few years. And you just want the camera just to linger. Just been really good. And just the camera just there 1 second longer and you see, one tear.
But also, it's just it's that thing of going, people who dedicate their life to sport, they are excellent. They're healthier than me. They'll live longer than me. They have a better understanding of camaraderie, of success and failure. Mm. They're better people than me. And I still look at them and go, yeah, but you waste your time.
It's just a game.
Because it's netball. Just a game. I mean, no, what they are, are just games. Like, if you were really, really, really good at Space Invaders, we would pity you. Mm. But yeah, because you're moving around,
also talk apparently about how good that's not they are geeky. At netball, they say how good they are at netball, they're the best ever. And then they showed a clip of one of them throwing the ball to the opposition at the end because she thought the game was over.
It was the first clip they showed of them playing. I was waiting for them to do amazing things.
She threw the ball at the other team.
One of the worst times was Commonwealth Games 2014 in Glasgow. We had 30 seconds to go. We were drawing. I then threw away the ball. That was devastating.
It was really hard for me to see that happen. It was tough and it was just about sticking together. We win together, we lose together, we learn together.
She's shit at netball, isn't she?
That was in the Commonwealth Games.
Yes.
The biggest thing she did. That I think if you were watching this clip as a kid, the first, you want to show them being amazing, don't you?
No.
And it showed them being shit.
And here's a clip of her. At the end, she thought the game was over and there was a draw and she thought the time had run out and the clock had run down. So she threw the ball. The opposition, the New Zealanders, the Kiwis, went, oh, thanks very much, mate. And it's good of you to do that, yeah. And then the New Zealanders ran down the court and scored a goal and won the game.
See, like, why is it okay for you to do that accent? But every time I do a Chinese one, everyone shouts at me.
Hang on, I was doing Chinese.
They didn't show the beating she got from her parents.
So you've got that clip where she's being interviewed and she's saying how much she loves the sport and a tear rolls down her cheek. And then the camera just moves slightly and then said, Dad, just out of shot, yeah. Keep saying you like this ball. The pushy dad. There's always the pushy dad.
Yeah. I know. And I find it really hard to watch. So I go, this is, they are a success and they are brilliant. And I go, yeah, but you could, I don't, cure cancer or something.
Speaking of.
Speaking of. What a miserable way. Do you watch all sport like that at the end? Liverpool have just won the Premier League and you're like, yeah, but you haven't built an A-road, have you? Come on.
Built a cathedral.
Mentioning fathers, we should finally mention. I think Max Beasley's dad needs another mention.
Why was he there?
I don't know.
He was gone. He didn't stay.
I wrote down.
Mad drunk uncle.
This was so weird.
Because he didn't.
Also, his name's Max.
Maxton.
They've done a Lawson, haven't they?
Yeah.
He's Maxton and his son's
Max. What they sort of ignored them. He acknowledged the out-of-shot studio audience a lot by doing hand gestures and waving at them. If you didn't know, if you weren't a one-show viewer, and knew there was an audience, you'd think he was just seeing things that are on that you can't see. He's like waving at ghosts or something in his oversized suit jacket with his one show.
Why was he wearing that jacket?
I don't know. And then I sort of thought, this man doesn't know how television works. He's never been on television before. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Why would you?
No.
But it.
Do you know that's not true? I looked him up.
But that's the thing. So later on, they said, this is your second time on the one show sofa.
No, more than that, I looked him up. I thought, who are you? And he used to be a performer. He was on 3-2-1.
Oh.
He used to be one of the sketch actors with Ted Rogers. He is a rehearsed entertainer. And he went, you look like you've just never been on telly before.
Yeah. Or anywhere, or out of the house.
He looks like
or
the last
a
one.
Person.
He looks like the last one left at a shutdown Butlins. That's all I can see when I see
just
him.
Mournfully switching the light off.
He's on the Titanic.
He's Rogue Bovis.
Yeah. Hey, Maxton, your boys have gone on to do well in life.
They've done very, very well. Yeah. I couldn't be more proud, I've got to say. And it's just great for me, you know, to be on this. The second time on the show, I was on 7 years ago and I did so well.
Brilliant, Maxton. Absolute magic.
But it's extraordinary. And I'm sorry, I know I've mentioned this already, but I'm obsessed with the fact that he had a cue card because he didn't say... What did it say on the cue card? Don't say fuck. What? He was on there.
This is your son. You are called Max.
Arrow, son. Two arrows. Alex, Matt.
He then said, when they were talking about lookalikes and how he looks like Max to get into that whole lookalike, which he doesn't exactly, really, right? Yeah. And he said...
It's just your blood's 30 years older than mine.
Younger kid. Younger. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, with that
up,
in mind.
I'll build up to this.
we want to introduce you.
And you sort of go. I was awful.
And then there was an awkward moment when everyone realised he got it wrong,
it started a laugh and then stopped.
Yes, because everyone thought, the shape of the joke. Is there something wrong with it? Did he just get that wrong? And I think that was the thing that was written on the cue card for him, but he didn't look at it.
No, that was what was on the cue card. It reminds me of my friend Gus Brown. Do you know Gus Brown?
Yeah.
He tells a story about meeting Russ Abbott on a holiday somewhere, and Russ Abbott was at the bar and started telling Gus a long anecdotal joke story thing, like it was a bit of stand-up, and just completely got it wrong. And left big pauses and scratched his head and then just went, "No, I'm terribly sorry," and just walked off, and he never saw him again.
Wow.
Isn't that tragic?
Walked into the desert.
Yeah.
The long walk.
He did. Also, Dalai Lama again. I was going to say, last time I did this, they had a feature on the Dalai Lama. I think the Dalai Lama is quite a regular occurrence on the
Dalai Lama's show. A weird person because he is very religiously important to a very specific and small group of people.
Yeah.
But we're all meant to feel he's ours. It's a really what you go. Yeah. This is a religious figure. It's like, if it was the chief rabbi, I'd go, well, that belongs to the Jewish community. Yeah. But Dalai Lama was supposed to go, yeah, it's very, very holy. I went, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in reincarnation, but I'm supposed to give him enormous respect. I went, this is clearly, sorry, this is bullshit. But you're not meant to think that because he's ever so holy and it's a very persecuted country.
That's really interesting, actually, because they did the thing about he ordained that kid and said, oh, you are the Pancha Lama.
Yeah.
And we all go, well, it's terrible. The Chinese government stole the Pancha Lama. No one actually says, well, wasn't it a bit cruel to
identify
a random child and say you've got the hopes of an entire religion on your shoulders?
That's a very good point. And because of this, you're likely to get removed by the Chinese.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Good luck, kids.
By a deadlock. Cheers.
We're saying that the Dalai Lama is one of the most irresponsible people on earth.
Yeah.
And that recorded.
That is what we're saying.
There's one way we should end this podcast. The Dalai Lama is a fucking prick.
Yeah.
Thanks. Don't use that. Cheers.
We should also say that all vagina conversations were made by three middle-class white men. Oh, so I'm sure that's going to go very well.
Really
I'm actually more upper middle class, to be honest. We could go again for that. Thanks.
So that's it from this week's The One Show Show. We'll be back next week. Please do rate, review and tell your friends about this podcast. We do only accept 5-star reviews. No Pine Martins are kept in this podcast overnight. But whatever you do, remember this and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at The One Show, The One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Great Big Owl.
What?
Great Big Owl.
Stop saying that. What about Great Big Owl?
It's a family of podcasts.
Ooh. Who's in this family?
Well, there's Rule of Three, that's us.
There's Brian and Roger.
Hi, Roger, it's Brian.
There's The One Show Show.
There's nowhere else you would find a 4 or 5 minute film about pine martins.
Yes.
Without a sight of one pine martin at all in the film.
There's Barry and Angelos.
Oh, Gooch, Gooch, Chooch. Yeah. Remember that lovely one?
And there's Smirsh Pod.
Did you eat first? I think we know.
Well, I know, I don't know if I'd want to eat Lazenby.
Basically, look for Great Big Owl on your pod, what's it?
Good idea. Have we got a sting?
Owls don't sting. Great Big